relationships can be really difficult, can't they? If we think about our own families, perhaps our relationships with our parents and our children, we will all have very different experiences of what it means to be part of a family. For some, our fathers may be or have been very close and gave us a sense of security, providing for us, protecting us, loving us. For others, their father, as we've heard already this morning, may have been absent for much of or even all of their lives. It may be they had a very difficult relationship. Maybe you've had a very difficult relationship with your father. Or perhaps your father is no longer alive and that loss has been traumatic or devastating. Whilst everyone else is celebrating Father's Day today, we need to recognise that for some, this can be a very difficult day. And for those whose fathers have become estranged from their children, or who have children who have died, today can be difficult or a painful reminder of what things may have been. So why am I talking in these terms? Well, Jesus encourages his disciples to look on God as Father, our Heavenly Father. For those of us who experience a Father who is loving and close and positive, picturing God as Father is helpful. But for those who have a negative experience of fatherhood, telling them that God is their Heavenly Father may be far from encouraging or comforting. But the reason the Bible speaks of God as Father is because God is seeking to be in a relationship with you. He regards us as his children and wants us to see him as a perfect Father. In our reading, Jesus tells us, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them." We learn that God provides for his creation. The birds are fed without the need for labour and to grow food. And in asking the question, "Are you not more valuable than they?" Jesus is telling us that God may enjoy his creation. He may love the birds. He certainly feeds the birds, but people, they are different. They are so much more valuable in God's eyes than the birds. So if God will provide for the birds, will he not also provide for his children? Matthew 7, 9-11 reads, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So our earthly fathers may provide for us, but our Heavenly Father is even more willing to provide for our needs. We only need to ask. Matthew 6 forms part of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. This is possibly a collection of teachings that Matthew has brought together and put into one section in his Gospel. The sermon looks at what it means to belong to the kingdom of God. Throughout this teaching, Jesus encourages his disciples to view God as Father, to speak to him as Father. And this is because being part of the kingdom of God is about being in a right relationship with God. If you have your Bibles open, and just look through Matthew chapter 6 and spot how many references there are there to Father God. In verse 9, the word Jesus uses when he is teaching his disciples to pray, to address God, is Abba, the equivalent of daddy or dada, the word a baby or a small child would use to address their father. Often one of the first words a baby learns to say is dada. Just think for a moment about the relationship between a baby and its dada, its daddy. For the father who knows that this small child needs him to provide food, shelter and clothing. The child needs protection from harm. The child needs to be educated. And the child needs to be loved so that he or she in turn can learn to love others and eventually to relate well not only to the father but to other members of the family and the wider community. The baby or toddler is pretty clueless, really. They rely on their dada to hold them when they're sad, feed them when they're hungry, teach them to talk and walk, pick them up when they fall over, and protect them from the monster under the bed. They trust their dada or daddy. He is the most important person in their world, with the possible exception of mama or mummy. He is the one they rely on. Babies aren't born with a lot of skills, but it seems they quickly learn to recognise faces, especially the faces of their parents. They know that these are the people who will keep them safe, who they can rely on to feed them and care for them as they grow. These are the faces they want to see when they're distressed or in need of love. And these are the beginnings of forming a relationship. Just before the service began, Irene took out her phone and showed me a picture of her latest grandchild, Jude, born yesterday, a newest granddaughter in the family. To the daughter, Emma. You immediately, don't you, when someone shows you a picture of a new baby or you get to meet a new baby for the first time, look to see if you can recognise any family traits. Have they got her mum's eyes, his mum's eyes, or his dad's nose? We look to see if we can recognise the father in the baby. In viewing God as Father, it is this kind of relationship that Jesus is encouraging. The baby giving total trust in his father to protect, provide, to love and to forgive as we grow in faith. We learn to love God through this method, and this deepens our relationship with him. We need to continue to recognise that he is the one to trust, to provide, to protect. We continue to be his children. Pastor David was speaking of his children last Sunday evening and said, "They're grown up, and I don't know what to call them other than my children." Our relationship with our parents, of course, grows and develops over time, but they continue to be our parents and we their children all of our lives. I don't know whether Jude really does look like his father at the moment, certainly not a mirror image. But maybe there are some features there, the shape of his eyes, his nose or his hands. As a baby grows and develops, we look to see more of family likeness. but not just in looks, in mannerisms and character traits that they inherit from their parents. I have seen young men who have grown up and didn't really look that much like their fathers in their early years, but later in life that resemblance appears. In being in relationship with our God, with God our Father, means we should be developing a likeness to him as we grow and mature in faith. In the previous chapter, Jesus tells his disciples in verse 48, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The concept of God being Father was not new to the Jewish people. There are a number of references in the Old Testament that portray this kind of relationship. Psalm 103 verse 13 reads, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." One commentary I was reading says, "Growing increasingly popular during the Second Temple period, in prayers for protection and forgiveness, adult Jews often referred to God in prayer as our Father." Jesus is different. He says in Matthew 11:27, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." The way Jesus uses "my Father" to address his heavenly Father is exceptional because Jesus is the unique Son. But by calling his disciples to share the kingdom with his Father as well, moreover, God is our Father, expressing a relationship that we have, not only with God, but with one another. We have Jesus as our brother, and each other share the same Father. Going back to the Old Testament for a moment, in Exodus chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. People often view these as rules, but they're not rules to follow. They are about how we relate to God, about how faithful we are in our relationship with God. It's about respect and honouring him. And it's how we relate to others, including our parents. Verse 12 in Exodus 20 reads, "Honour your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." The Sermon on the Mount is about kingdom values. And kingdom values are about how to live in relationship with God and with one another. The people of God, or the family of God, are made up of believers who are precious and loved by God. And God is adding to this family, adopting new children day by day. This growing family is one to whom we belong. I started by saying that relationships can be difficult, and within God's family this can also be true. But if we remember that the person we're talking to, the person we are disagreeing with, is really loved and precious to our Father, if we bear in mind that this is someone that God loves very much, we will treat our brothers and sisters in Christ with love and respect. And that doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but you have to accept that people will hold different views to you. First Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8 reads, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. The Bible teaches us that God is love, and that he loves you. And with this perfect love, he is a perfect father. As we grow in faith and mature, we should be becoming more like our Father, just as Jesus was like his Father. In John 14, we read these words. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So becoming more like Jesus, we become more like the Father. And to become more like the Father is to become more like Jesus. The good news is that in this journey of faith, in growing and maturing, we are not on our own. It is God who is teaching us, as a good father teaches his children, to walk and talk and to be obedient. So God helps us to grow and be more like him. He sends his Holy Spirit into our lives to help us to bear the fruit that Galatians 5 speaks of. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All the things that will help us to build good and loving relationships with one another and with our Heavenly Father, becoming more like him. Have you heard the saying, like father, like son? Jesus was like his Father. How are you doing? Can people see and recognise in you that you have a relationship with the Father, with the family of God? Are you building a relationship with the Father? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit and bearing fruit? What about your relationship with the rest of the family of God's people, your brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes, relationships can be difficult, but we need to work on them. And we don't stop that work until we each mirror images of the Father, so that we can be seen as his children and known to be like him in all that we say and do. We looked at those verses earlier from Corinthians 1:13, love is patient, love is kind. We can change these words to God is patient, God is kind, he does not envy, he does not boast, he is not proud, he does not dishonour others, he is not self-seeking, he is not easily angered, he keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. We can also change it to put Jesus' name there. Jesus is patient, Jesus is kind, etc., etc. What if we were to put our own names there? How true would it be that in place of that word love, if we put our name, how many of those things are we doing well with? And how many we're so far from that it just really is untrue. This is what we need to work at, to be mirror images of Jesus, so that we project his love into the community around us. Amen.